Advancements in technology, shifting markets, and the gig economy are changing the nature of work. With this in mind, Harvard Business School Executive Education is launching a new program on managing the future of work. Based on the latest research into the forces reshaping workforce demographics, this program is designed to help employers remain competitive by thinking strategically about today's evolving business landscape. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/future. That's hbs.me/future.
Hey guys, Alex here, ajnashville.com, here with your Friday podcast. Today we are talking with Mr. Jim Springer. I always like to call you Jim Suppinger. That's my doctor's name. His name is actually Jeff. But Jim is new, very, very new to the mortgage industry. Made a big leap, made a big move. He is just getting ready to turn 21. Happy birthday in a couple days, by the way.
Thank you.
And so I wanted to sit down because I know there's a lot of people that are interested in getting into this business that have asked about it, inquired about it. And I want you to know what it's like from a new person to be in the industry, to get into something that you've never dealt with before and kind of deal with that and work through it. So we've got Jim here. We're going to ask him some questions, pick his brain, and kind of go from there. So thanks for being on the show, Jim. You know, I know you moved down here from Fort Dodge, Iowa. You were longtime friends with my little brother. Obviously, that wasn't the reason why I hired you or decided to take a chance on you. You have a mindset that is very different from most people your age, which is going to take you far in life. But what was it that made you decide to get into the industry?
Well, I've always been interested in real estate and sort of investing. I never had a real desire to be a real estate agent per se, but I knew I wanted to have a kind of like a something in within the industry dealing with it. And when I visited you about a year and a half ago, you seemed to love your job, everything about it. I looked more into it. It seemed like something I would be interested in, and it was. So I decided to go ahead and just jump in, take my licensing, passed it on the first try, and here I am right now.
Awesome, awesome. So taking your licensing, obviously when you initially started this, you had to find a way to get licensed, everything else. Mm-hmm. What channels did you go through to find the information that was necessary in order to get licensed in the first place?
Well, being that I came and visited with you last year with Elijah, I referenced you, I asked you, where do I start, where do I begin, and also just researching. Mm-hmm. You allowed me to come and stay back in November of 2017 while I took my pre-licensing courses here in Nashville. And then I took my test within a month down in Des Moines, Iowa, and passed it, made the move in January, and it's been great so far.
Awesome, awesome. So you kind of, you took the lead, did what you had to do in order to get licensed, and passed the test, studied. How often did you study when you were getting ready to take the exam?
I had to study multiple hours every day because there's so much in there, and you have such a small time frame if you're trying to act fast and not just delay it. And you'll never know everything, but you have to retain as much as you can. And you just have to really, really just have repetitiveness on it so that you can just make sure to pass on the first try so you don't have to delay it any longer.
Gotcha, gotcha. So that makes sense. So when you decided to go ahead and jump and do what you needed to do the studying and everything, when you took the test itself, where'd you took the test in Des Moines, right?
Yeah, in Des Moines.
Okay, so Des Moines, Iowa, for those of you that don't know, is about an hour, hour and a half from where Jim lived. He had to drive down there. He had to take the test. Did they strip search you? I mean, tell me about going in to take the test.
Yeah, so it's very it's very strict in there. You can barely say a peep when you walk in. There's other people in there testing for who knows what they needed to test for. They search your pockets. They make you pull your pants up, make sure you're not sneaking any notes in. You can't have any water bottles, no watches. You can't even bring your own pencil in just for the fact that they will absolutely not tolerate cheating. They provide soundproof like headphones in there for you for others testing in there if there's any noise. It's very strict. It was worse than like finals in college, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But it was very straightforward, and they're all pretty nice there.
So now you went to college. That makes a good point. So what did you go to college for?
I originally went for business. In my first year, I mainly was in accounting. The next year, I wanted to get more into finance, but none of my classes that I took my first semester were involved with it. I lost interest very quickly in school. I did not enjoy it personally. I knew that I didn't have to keep going to be successful and do what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I just made the decision on my own to pretty much move forward with my life and not just delay it and waste my own time and money, which would have been the worst decision for me to make.
Right. So the old, you got to go to college, you got to get your degree, that's how you're going to be successful. How did your parents respond when you said, fuck this, no, not going to school anymore, I know that I can make it doing other things? I mean, were they like, yeah, you are? Or were they supportive, or how that
happened? It seemed a little rocky at first, but they both know that I can do what I say I'm going to do. So there wasn't really any resentment, just kind of like what you're going, maybe you shouldn't, this and that. And I know my mom got flack from her coworkers if they were asking, like, oh, what's Jim going to school for? How's his classes going? And you're like, he's not there anymore, but I'm not worried
about
it.
Jim's a dropout.
Yeah, I'm a dropout, but I'm a proud one. So.
Right. Jim the dropout.
But yeah, she got flack for it. Not like just with the oohs, why isn't he there? Like, what's wrong with him? Or what's going on with the parenting aspect even? Like, why is your kid not in college? It's such a...
Right.
It's such a... like a thing, like a trend to follow, like you have to go there to be successful when that's not the case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew that I was going to do what I said I was going to do, and nothing was really going to hold me back, especially going to school, because that would have been holding me back way more than leaving.
Right. So the parents understand, they accepted it. You said, hey, I'm packing my shit and moving down to Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Now you sound like a country music star. I'm throwing everything I own in the car, and I'm making a trip. So, how'd that go? I mean, that's a big step.
We've
all made a step like that, but you said it before, the bulk of your family is still in Iowa.
Yes.
And only a few of you stragglers, which your brother's in the Navy?
Yeah, he's in the Navy. So he's in Maryland right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's stationed there. One of my sisters, Linda, she lives in Florida. She moved down there, I believe, 2-3 years ago now. I have an older sister named Amanda who lives in Iowa City, but majority of my family still lives in Fort Dodge, except a couple that live in Illinois and a couple stragglers here and there throughout the state. But everyone is in Iowa pretty much except for me and two of my siblings.
That's insane. So I noticed that obviously you're young. I hear your voice cracking. Have you started puberty?
I did probably 4 years ago, but who knows? It comes back here and there. It just
4 years ago. Holy shit.
4 years ago.
You were like 17. I mean, damn. Talk about a slow grower.
Yeah, I had my glow up after high school.
Right.
That's a fact.
Like the fucking college. Hey, what are you doing this week? Oh, I'm starting my fucking puberty. No, but here's the difference, and I laugh and I joke about that, but you have a mindset that's much different from most kids your age. Most kids your age are worried about going to school, partying, having a good time. Meanwhile, I was tracking your progress while you were in Fort Dodge. You were working as a server plus working another job, and you were able to stuff away, which I don't want you to disclose dollar amounts, but you were able to stuff away a substantial amount of money, so the move that you made is backed by whatever finances you were able to save and things like that. You were able to pay off debt, which is great. You're pretty much debt-free besides student loans, right?
Yep.
So, and that a lot of that comes from you listening to your boy Dave, which we won't talk about. You know, Dave's good for some people. He's great for some people. It's not my preference. I'm not going to bash him. He does a great thing for a lot of people.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, exactly. So, but you were able to do so. And that's something that you look at. And as a adult, speaking about myself because you're new to puberty, but as an adult... it's phenomenal. It speaks a lot about what it is you do, what it is you have the capability to do. It also speaks a lot for why I hired you. You know, it was a no-brainer to bring you on because of your mindset. If I had the mindset that you have now, I would be a multi-millionaire now instead of in pursuit of becoming a millionaire. The fact of the matter is, you have a drive that most people don't. Where did that drive come from? Did you grow up poor? Did you grow up rich? I mean, it came from somewhere. Is your dad a hard worker? Is your mom a hard worker? I mean, we're all going to be like, yeah, my dad busts his ass all day. Actually, he's retired, but, you know. Where'd that stem from?
Well, yeah, we came from middle class. Both my parents work hard for sure. But I've always just wanted more just because I guess I've been aware of the world around me. I'm not kind of blind to what's going on and what's out there and what's achievable.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was in school, that really started growing more because I just did not want to be there. I was looking at people who were successful already. A lot of them didn't even need school for what they were doing. And I just knew that I could find a way to do it myself. And I'm starting to do that now.
Right.
And I've always just had a hardworking mentality. I'm not afraid of working. I was working 80-hour weeks between two jobs while I was 20 years old. Like, it wasn't a big deal to me at all because I didn't really have any desire to be going average. Out to the bars or being average and anything like that. Yeah. I've just been focusing on the long term because I know it's going to be worth the work I put in now.
That's awesome. I mean, that's not something you see from a lot of people. A lot of people do not have that same mindset that you do. So that's very good. You know, the biggest thing is when you continue with hard work and you continue pushing when you feel like you've hit a dead end, that's when things really start mm-hmm. to change. Most people, who was it? Andrew Paul, former Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 3, just a fucking badass. I mean, he's a SEAL, you know, let's face it. But Andrew is he's an advocate for veterans out in California. But he posted something the other day, and that's that people typically give up right before they strike gold.
Right.
And that's the truth. There's so many people, they push, and then they say, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
They say, fuck it, and they withdraw, and they were this far, which I know you guys listening can't see how far this far, but it's a very small distance from actually achieving success.
And that next person right behind you has that drive, and they
keep
hit it,
digging.
And you look, see them hitting it, and you just ask, how did they do it when you could have done it right then?
Resentment, exactly. So, you know, that's one of the things that you share that's different from other people. So that's obviously something we want to focus on as well. All right, so now that you're down here, you've made the move. Any regrets?
No.
Are you sure? I know you're staying with me, but come on.
Not at all, actually, no.
Good. So you're new into it. And here's the one thing I will say. I could tell, like, last night, you know, I had both the kids at the house. Shana was out with her friends. And you were just helping naturally just pick up and start doing shit. Like, that speaks a lot for the fact that you take the initiative and take the drive. In this industry, it's a lot about the initiative. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't get up and do what you have to do, every single day you will not succeed. I know plenty of loan officers making $30,000 a year and that are okay with that.
Yeah.
And if they're okay with that, that's okay. I'm not saying everybody needs to be a super producer. But here's the thing. There's trains coming down the tracks. You got to get the fuck off. You know, if you're not willing to work, get out of the way.
Yeah.
You seem to be one of those cabooses that's getting ready to swing his way around the front and eventually become an engineer and start pulling his weight around here. You're learning things. This is a very complex industry. A lot of people believe that, hey, you know what? You get in, you talk to some people, you get a loan, you move on, you do this.
Right.
You've seen some of the things that Jeff has trained you on.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more complex than you expected?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot of back and forth, and you really have to stay organized and on top of it at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Or else you're going to get flustered, you're going to get pissed off, and it's just not going to go your way, and then everyone's going to be in a pissed off mood.
Right. So am I as bad of a manager as Jeff says I am? No, I'm just kidding.
Of course not.
Of course not. I have your termination papers right here. Answer the question. Now, you know, and I'm glad you said that because a lot of it in this industry, you know, we're playing for keeps here.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting people into homes. We're getting kids transferred to schools. You know, people don't realize the depth of this and the weight that's carried with it.
Yeah.
You know, you're responsible to make sure that a family does not go homeless. You are responsible to make sure that you put people into a financial situation that they can afford. You are responsible to make sure that the agents involved in the transaction get paid on time. Because mm-hmm. they count on that money just as much as anyone else does. You know, if they say they don't, they're full of shit. Because they don't do this for a living without, counting on that. But the biggest thing is the service of the client. That's where the white glove service comes in. Yep. We try to do the best we can to make sure our clients are always taken care of. And you have to take that approach. When you worry about taking care of other people more than you worry about taking care of yourself, that's when the success comes.
You have to add a value to other people before yourself, in a sense, and then it'll just reciprocate back to you tenfold.
Absolutely. And hard work is the biggest thing. You know, especially with you being new. No one's going to pick up the phone and be like, man, I hope I find the newest loan officer in the world today and do a loan with him. The biggest thing is you're always more educated than the person on the other end of the phone. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many transactions somebody has done. They've never, if they're not a licensed loan officer, they have never done the work that we do to figure the things out that we have.
Yeah.
The other end of it is most people don't realize that not every single deal. I can't think of two deals that were exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Even with the same client, we'll do two different transactions and they're both very different. You know, so bear that in mind. You'll get a client where, you know, they have a handful of issues that we have to resolve, and then we move over to the next one, and this handful of issues exist, but they're different.
Yeah.
So you have to have that ever-changing, hey, we'll do this, we'll do that, we got to move here, we got to move there. So getting out of your comfort zone. This is the first time you've ever done a podcast, correct?
Yes, it is.
Any type of interview, for the most part?
I've done a radio interview two years ago. But
what was that about? Being a bowling champion?
That was being a bowling champion,
That's
yes.
fucking awesome. So at least we know you're good at tossing balls around. But so bowling champion, obviously that's a hobby.
Yeah.
Did you bring your balls with you?
You know I did.
Okay. I'm glad to know that you have your balls here. Do you have your own shoes?
Obviously. I cannot use a bowling alley shoes anymore. They are garbage. It's not happening.
Why? Do your shoes have laces or are they like the...
They are laced, like the shoes there, but those ones there are just ass and a half, and I'm never going back to them. So.
Okay. So note that they're ass and a half, and he's never going back. So bowling's one of your hobbies.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Why didn't you become a professional bowler? You're pretty good at it, from what I understand.
I mean, I could have tried.
Yeah.
But it would have taken a lot of time, and the only way to get recognized is to win a shit ton of tournaments that are high-end, and that is very hard to do, and I don't want to spend all my time bowling, so.
What's that bowling movie?
The Big
Lebowski, the Lebowski or whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Was that your favorite movie growing up?
I've never seen it. Never seen any bowling movie.
Are you old enough to remember that movie?
I think it's before my time, probably.
Probably. Yeah, I think that came out like 92, so. Or were you like?
97.
97?
97.
Jesus, 97. Boy, you're younger than most of the cars I ever had, you know? Like, getting on up there, but.
Right.
New guy in the industry, you know, obviously you have a lot of upwards work to do. Because you're young, because you're new, are you ready for that challenge? People are going to look at you and they're going to say, you're 21 years old, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I mean, it is what it is. I just have to prove myself and keep working as hard as I can because one day I'm going to be there and then those naysayers will probably be doing business with me and I to them.
There you go. That's what it is. And that's the biggest thing you have to remember. You are headed down a pathway. So here's the thing, and I believe this was... I've got a couple excellent mentors. It may have been Johnny Fowler, who is a great friend, great mentor of mine, Chad Prio, or Ryan Steuben. One of those guys. They said, if you look on Facebook and somebody says, hey, I got a job today working for ABC company, making $40,000 a year, you get tons of people that are like, congrats, great job, can't wait till you start, way to go. But if you post, hey, I'm taking a commission-only job or I just opened up my first business, you get three or four posts, and they're all like, you're going to fail. Don't do that. That's not the safe thing to do.
Are you sure you want to go that route?
Right, exactly. They second guess you because you're not following the lemmings, you know?
It's the average norm. Same. It just kind of goes back to going to college in a sense. Mm-hmm. You say, oh, I'm going to the University of Iowa like I did. People congratulate you, this and that, but you say, I found this trade I want to do or this job that inspires me, whatever it may be, but it doesn't involve going to college. It involves going straight to work on it.
Right.
They'll say, oh, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just the same deal with that.
Yeah, and that's what's unfortunate because people don't understand, you know, if it wasn't for risk takers doing stuff like this, who the hell would do mortgages?
We would be in the Stone Age still if people didn't take their own path and do what they we're meant to do.
Exactly. Just like Tesla.
Right. You know, Elon Musk.
Yeah, if he didn't go the direction he's went, would we have what we have in technology? And the answer to that is no.
No, absolutely not.
And how many people probably looked down on him and said, hey, you're doing the wrong thing.
Oh, they said his company was going to fail. I believe in the last market crash, people were just pounding on him. But mm-hmm. his thing, in an interview with him, he just stated he's never, ever going to give up. And that's why he's worth, I think, around $20 billion. That's right. With a B. Like, that's unfathomable to most people. Like, the amount of money that actually is for one person to have.
You know, that's a good thing you brought up. $1 billion is a number that most people look at and they say, fuck, that's a big number.
Right.
What's $1 million to you?
A million is not shit. It's seven figures. And if you make $100,000 a year, it'll only take you 10 years to make that much.
Right.
Not saying you keep it all. But it's a low figure, but because of just how much pricing has changed within the last 100 years. 100 years ago, $1 million was probably $15 million in today's money.
Right.
So $1 million today really isn't anything. And my view on it is that even $10 million is not that much.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, for the billionaires list, there's, I believe, over 1,000 billionaires in the world. Mm-hmm. And there's over 10 million millionaires in the U.S. alone, with more happening probably every single day.
Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
if you're going for a financial goal and you set a low standard for yourself, you're going to get a low standard. That's the only way that's how it's going to happen. You just have to set audacious goals for yourself and just work your ass off to achieve it.
Now, you have a special talent besides bowling. And that's, you have a memory for stupid shit. So I'm going to ask you a couple quick fire questions.
Oh, God, I hope I get them right.
All right, these are about rap stars, because is the hidden talent I've
got. If I don't know them, I won't know anything about it.
All right, so where was Tupac born?
Tupac was born in New York City in, I believe, 71, I want to say.
Do you know what year he got killed?
96, obviously.
Who killed him?
It was Suge Knight. Suge Knight set him up. Everyone knows Suge Knight killed him. Suge set him up, that's a fact.
Right. So, Biggie.
Biggie?
Yep, where was he born?
Biggie, he was born in New York as well, I believe. At least he grew up there. He got murdered in March of the next year, so that sucked. At least I was alive for 2 months while he was.
Right. Yeah, you were still young enough. How about, let's pick another good one. Gucci Mane.
Gucci. I'm not sure where he was born. I'm pretty sure it's Atlanta. He's Atlanta-based.
Where does he live?
He's Atlanta-based for sure. He always talks about his 20 M's that he has.
Right. What's a 20 M?
20 million that he has. Okay. That's what he says.
So he's got worth. What rappers would say, racks on racks.
He's
on
got
racks.
Racks, and he talks about it a lot, and it brings him more.
So have you ever considered getting gold teeth?
Getting what?
Gold teeth. A grill.
No, I could never do a grill. That would be terrible.
Now, you kind of look like... What is his name? Little Dicky. Little Dicky. Are you Jewish?
I'm not Jewish. Okay. I don't think.
All right, good, good. So, not good because that's a bad thing, but your last name's Springer, not Goldman.
Just Springer.
Springer, okay. But you kind of look like Little Dicky, you know?
I haven't heard that one until I moved here.
What about Zuckerberg?
I've heard that a lot, actually. I don't see it, but you don't see your own doppelgangers.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with looking like a rich guy, especially when you're young and single.
And when he's worth $70 billion.
Yeah, and young and single. That's the thing. You could be up in the bar and be like, hey, I'm Zuckerberg's, you know, stunt double.
Right.
So, no, that's awesome. Well, dude, you know, this has been a great podcast so far. It's the Friday Fun Day podcast. I hope that those of you that have listened get some enjoyment out of this. Maybe you've laughed a little bit. Maybe not. If you haven't, I don't care.
Spade's a spade.
Spade's a spade. You're lame. But, you know, Jim, we wish you the best, obviously. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure you can grow. Not because it's an interest for me, but because I want people to see how successful you can be when you try.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the lesson to be learned here. We both lived in Fort Dodge. You know... Putting Fort Dodge on the map.
Right.
But the biggest thing is a lot of people get stuck in a rut and stay in that rut. Do. And if I would have stayed in Fort Dodge, Lord knows I'd probably be in prison or dead or something like that by now. So I'm glad I made the way out. And you can see I'm not in prison. I'm definitely not dead.
You're definitely not.
I mean, I may be in a water prison. There's quite a few fish tanks in here, but I enjoy them.
There's a few.
A few. But here's the thing. I can kill them if I want to. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But seriously, if they piss me off, I can just be like, you want
that? Like that one the other day.
I'll drown you backwards. I will drain all the water out of your tank and drown you with air.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Jim, any final words, any closing thoughts?
I mean, pretty much if you have a dream or an aspiration, just stop setting it off, because tomorrow becomes next week becomes next year, and then it never happens. So just go out and go for it. You only have the one life. Don't have it be average for yourself.
Yep, agreed. So final thoughts here. Obviously, you know, Jim's positioned himself and aligned himself in a way where he's going to be successful. He's taken the initiative to prove. The biggest thing is when you initially start something, you can't expect for people to look at you and say, yes, you're going to be successful. You've got to put in the work initially to say, here, I'm willing to put in the work. Here I am. Let's make moves. If you're not willing to do that, more than likely you will fail. So put in the work. Get it done. Keep pushing. And when all the... You will find yourself evolving from friendships.
Oh, yeah.
So you will see that friends fall off. And the reason being is because they never had the right aspirations anyways. And like I told you the other day, you're going to find friends that are older because they're more inspired to do more shit. Yep. So anyways, I want to wrap this up. Thanks again for tuning in, everybody. If you guys have any questions, I will tag Mr. Jim Springer on here if you want to reach out to him personally and ask him any questions. Hope everyone has a great, safe Friday and a great weekend. We'll see you later.
Advancements in technology, shifting markets, and the gig economy are changing the nature of work. With this in mind, Harvard Business School Executive Education is launching a new program on managing the future of work. Based on the latest research into the forces reshaping workforce demographics, this program is designed to help employers remain competitive by thinking strategically about today's evolving business landscape. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/future. That's hbs.me/future.